All right. We're still talking about the five levels of spiritual maturity in the church today. All right? It's not how you start. It's how you finish. All right. We talked about level one was the believers. Level two, the members. Level three, the disciples. Level four, the ministers. And level five, the sons. All right. One of the things that we said about one of the distinctive features that we said about the believer is that, you know, his perspective is in the word is often it was personalized. You know, is everything that he reads from his viewpoint of personal perspective. You know, what's in it for me? How can this help to further, you know, my cause in life? You know, that becomes a compelling force for him. And then we said that level two, the members, one of the distinctive features of a member was, you know, he is beginning to understand that he must embrace a corporate lifestyle, not just a personal devotion to Christ. He realizes he is born again into a family and now sees the need to belong to a larger identity in the community of believers. He must lose the selfish personal expression that can frustrate the corporate lifestyle. And then the third level, we said one of the distinctive features of the disciple was a disciple has, we said that a disciple has a leader from whom he's drawing his source of truth. A disciple does not draw from everywhere and anyone. He's clear who he is, who his leader is, and draws from that primary source. And we said that, you know, really can't receive apostolic training unless we make it to this level of discipleship. And then the fourth one was the minister. And a distinctive feature of the minister, we said, was a minister is one defined by his function and not necessarily by his position. The Corinth church is not only heavy into titles, but also into non-functioning hierarchical positions. These men carry a title or position without providing it justice by accurately functioning in his role. Praise God. All right, so we get here to this fifth level. And this fifth level of maturity and sons. Now, when you're talking about sons, we're also talking about daughters. So, you know, there's no gender in the spirit. So we, you know, we don't want you to think, you know, that we're just talking about the men. No, we're talking about the people of God. All right. So now there are some things that, you know, we have to be able to endure becoming, you know, coming through these levels because God is going to always test us. He's going to always test your, you know, I've learned that, you know, the things that happen to us in life, whether, you know, somebody does something to hurt us or something like that, you know, I chalk it all up to the plan of God for my life, and I'm supposed to learn from everything that happened in my life. Everything that happened in our life, we're supposed to learn from it. Because, you know, we're not supposed to stay at the at a certain point crying about everything that's going on. And see, you're not going to be able to really be get to this level of sonship until you really mature. So this final stage of maturity we're looking for in this, in those who are in the house of God. The greatest asset of the church is not just, we said, not just the people, but the right people. Got to have the right people. Got to have the right people because one of the things we said was that the prodigal son is the picture of many in the current church leadership. A lot of We got a lot of renegades. We got a lot of folk who, you know, if they don't get it their way, then all of a sudden they take off and they're gone somewhere else. So they enjoy the blessing of the benefits of the legacy of the man of God is bringing into their lives. And then it happens. Selfish devil rises in them. Father, give me the share of my estate that falls to me like the prodigal son said, and I'm getting out of here. That's the picture of a lot of the leadership in the church, because now this is what people don't want to be honest about. If, you know, like I've been following apostle for 20 years, and there are some things that has happened in my life that is a direct result of my connection to him. You with me? And so for me to get to a certain point and feel like I've arrived will really be a devastating event in my ministry, because I've seen this happen. I've seen guys get to a certain, ladies get to a certain certain point in their ministry, and they begin to say, you know, well, you know, God did all this. God did, but God had somebody that was pouring into your life. God had somebody that was obedient enough that was going to hear him and really speak into your life. Because I don't care who you are. I don't care. All through the scriptures, from Genesis to Revelation, God always used a human agent. Yes, sir. Always used somebody. So, you know, but these people go on these trips to my, oh, you know, well, the Lord did. And so, you know, once they get to a point when things, you know, going good, and then they think they got it going on, and they get from under that covering, it's a matter of time. This is how I like to describe it. I describe it like this. You know, if you get a car, if you got a car on a hill, you can take the motor out of it, and you can push it down the hill. It's going. And then once it get on the level plane, it's going to go for a while on that. It's going to seem like it's going, but it's just a matter of time, because it don't have an engine in it. You know, the only thing that's going to carry them is the momentum. So they have the momentum from following, being connected to that set person or that man of God. And then as soon as they connect, they think they still got it going on. But I think they zoom, and you understand what I'm saying? And so the momentum is taking them, but the thing about it is they just don't have the engine. They just don't have the power to keep going. And somewhere down the road, you know, they found on the side of the road. Ford. Found on the road dead. That's what they say. I don't know. I'm just saying. All right. At the end of the day, only sons will remain in the house to inherit what the father has laid aside as an inheritance. At the end of the day, only going to be the sons. Only going to be those who really have matured and not looking, thinking about what's in it for me and that sort of thing and stuff. So we said that when it happens, the spirit of discouragement and frustration hits, you know, when people leave, hits the home base, and many functions in the church are affected by the sudden disappearance of those whom we have trusted to stay. I mean, folk that we thought that was going to be there with us always. All of a sudden, you know, we look up and they're gone. Hallelujah. But the thing about it is, you know, that's another thing. I believe it. I just believe that, you know, it's just like the space shuttle. You know, the space shuttle got these two rocket boosters on both sides. And it takes that space shuttle to a certain point in the atmosphere, then all of a sudden they fall off. Their only purpose was to get the space shuttle to a certain altitude. They can't go where the space shuttle is going. So they got to fall off. And that's, see, in the same way it is, this is, sometimes we get so caught up, say, well, you know, I don't want to, you know, walk away from this person, you know, because they helped me so much. Yeah, but they could only help you get to a certain point. So when people leave you and that kind of thing and stuff, get over it. Let them go. Let them go. Praise God. Help them to go if you can. Praise the Lord. Because if they stay around in your life, there's going to be some hindrance going on. All right. So they work. The work becomes vulnerable. And those who have remained faithfully and have stayed are overstretched. So there are two practical ways to prevent this from happening in our midst. Number one, raise up true sons, not just sons, true sons. True sons who will stand in line of succession like Joshua did with Moses. Aaron around there, you know, his Aaron really should have been the one who was following Moses close, his brother. But the thing about it is sometimes, you know, you just become so familiar till you can't really receive from, you know, remember Aaron and Miriam, you know, they got in trouble with the Lord because, you know, they thought that, you know, they were on Moses' level, but they weren't. But so we have to come to a point where we really understand that this is my take on this. You know, I don't, you know, people feel like they want to feel about it. When it comes down to following, if you're not careful, if you're following, if you don't have all these people hung on to you, where, you know, whenever you're corrected, they put in their 2 cents. See, when you got somebody saying, oh, if I was you, child, I wouldn't take that. That's somebody who gonna really get you off base. But Joshua followed Moses, man. He followed him. You know what I'm saying? While Aaron was over there in the camp and stuff, Aaron over there with the people and stuff. People say Moses stayed too long. He done stayed too long up on the mountain. Aaron down there, and he done built the idol. You understand what I'm saying? Because he's trying to please people. But a Joshua never tried to please people. He tried to please the one that he's serving. And that's the key. That's the thing to real sonship. Trying to please the one who's leading you. Now watch this. Many times people, because they don't understand how it goes. See, a person who don't understand, they'll feel like, you know, myself, they'll feel like, man, you know, he worshiping a man. No, I'm not. See, because all you can see is the physical. You don't see the one that I'm really following. You can't see him. And he's the one who's connected me to the person that I'm following. And so God is not in competition. Where, you know, he's saying, okay, all right, don't follow Apostle too close now. You know, I'm right here. No, God said, follow him. This is the person that I'm going to speak to in your life. And this is the person that I've assigned to speak in your life now. You got to make your mind up that you're going to follow. So how do I do that? My love for God, Apostle gets the overflow of my love relationship with God. Yeah. See, that's what's supposed to happen to us. I mean, when we're following and the people who we're serving with stuff, they're supposed to receive the overflow of a love relationship with God. You understand what I'm saying? You're supposed to love God so much, the love just flowing, that you got so much love for God that it's flowing and it's affecting everybody. And you can't say you love God and God put somebody in your life and you're not following them. No, that's not the Lord. All right. let me keep going here. So, and then Elijah, before Elijah, only sons who are willing to receive their inheritance will remain loyal to the father and to cross over for succession. Then number two, destroy dead-end bureaucracy systems of leadership and reproduce more laborers and leaders for every work or responsibility within the church. So we need to reproduce two or three or more for every department leader we raise. Yeah, see, I mean, I believe like this. Okay, even in the choir, if a person is singing in a choir and they lead a certain song or whatever and stuff, I like to have two people that know the song. So if a person gets sick or whatever and stuff, and I want to hear that song, you know, I need them to be there. You understand what I'm saying? I mean, that's an in department. I think you'll have two or three people in there. So if somebody say, well, I'm out of here, well, good. We slide somebody right in your place. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We don't have to sit around and be praying about this. Yeah, go right ahead. Or you go right on in here. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Because see, ministry has to keep going. Satan won't stop it. Sometimes rebellious act, just like when Miriam was leper, it stopped the move of God for 7 days. It can hinder the move of God. You with me? So when you got people that you can slide right in place, that's why you ought to always be in a position, every person ought to be in a position where no matter where I'm needed, I'm available for wherever I'm needed. Listen to me. I'm not jealous of this person that got this position. I'm not just jealous of this person that got this position. But wherever I'm needed at, if they fool around and miss a beat, I'll be here just waiting. I don't hope they leave, but if they do, send me, Lord. I go. Praise God. Hallelujah. All right. Distinctive features of a son. Sons are connected to the father of the house in a direct relationship of covenant. Sons do not operate on a secondhand relationship through a hierarchy or another chain of authority. This level of relationship of loyalty and integrity allows the son to capture the heart and mind of the father. Praise God. I had somebody that's a student online, they wanted to know, they said that, you know, they heard apostle say something about, you know, having a relationship and stuff with him and stuff. And they said that they don't even know if apostle know that they following them. You know what I'm saying? I said, well, I mean, he ought to know some kind of way that you're following. You should have made it known that you're following him in some a letter or some kind of way. Let him know. And then and if you're online, you ought to be given. That's one way he'll know that you're on there. He'll know that you're following. And so a lot of times people think that they got to be in a person's face for them to know that they're following them. See, you can't, you know, it's not, you know, the iPhone just got a whole lot of people messed up. You know, you can get FaceTime, you know, you can pull up FaceTime, you know, talk to somebody, see them face to face and that kind of thing and stuff. But when it comes down to walking, you know, with a man or woman of God, FaceTime is something that you have to be careful of, because with FaceTime, you'll become so familiar till you really can't receive from them. All right, okay, I say it like this. Not that you can't receive from, but you can't receive correction. You understand what I'm saying? Because if Jesus, look at Jesus. You know Jesus was anointed, right? But the Bible says when he went was in his hometown, the Bible says that he could not do many miracles. Because, you know, there they were familiar to my, that's Mary boy. And that's Pookie and them brother. You know, they were familiar, so the Bible couldn't do mighty miracles. So many times people think that, you know, FaceTime, you know, that means that, you know, you really connected. No. Let me tell y'all a secret. I followed Apostle about 5 years before he ever said anything to me. So what happened if, you know, when I got in the second year and he hadn't said nothing? I say, well, he hadn't said nothing to me. You know, I don't know. I probably won't never, you know, get to. No, no, no. Just keep on doing what God told you to do. God told you to follow. God didn't ask you. This is what happened to me one time. The Lord spoke to me. The Lord said, take this $1,000 down. This has been years ago to Dr. Thompson. So I called, talked to Montrell, and Montrell said that, yeah, you can come and bring it. So I come, I get to the house. I'm excited about it. I got $1,000, man. I'm finna put it in the man of God's hand. You understand? I'm real excited about it. So I rang the doorbell. The maid come to the door. I said, well, Jeff Phillips, I'm here to see Dr. Thompson. She said, I know what you're here for. Give it here. I'll take it to him. I said, oh, okay, man. I mean, I'm all excited, pumped up. All of a sudden, boy, everything drops. I'm going down the step. See the Holy Ghost. That thank God for the Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost said to me going down, because I'm thinking to myself, I thought he was going to come out and at least let me put it in his hand. Holy Ghost said this. Holy Ghost said, I didn't send you up here to sow the seed to get in his face. I sent you here to put a seed in the ground. So I get in my car and I pull on out. I'm all right because the Lord done spoke to me now. You understand what I'm saying? Satan, he can't mess with me. The Lord done spoke to me. So it must have been about, I don't know, a few months later, had this man that came to me. And he said, I'm believing God for a new house. I think I told y'all about it the other week. The man said, I'm believing God for a house. Say, God told me to sow this money in you, $1,000. And man, I'm broke at the Ten Commandments. I said, man, this ain't right. The man believing God for a house. I mean, I really want to see the man get the house. And all of a sudden I saw Apostle face coming for me. I said, oh, because I was thinking about getting the man the money back. I really could have used it. I'm telling you, I was broke and I needed that $1,000. I really needed it. But this man was believing God for a house. And I believe that if Apostle got that money in his hand, that God would do it. I believe that, you know, so I called up. I don't know. I talked to Dr. Montrell, Dr. Leroy Jr., talked to one of them, and I asked them, could I come? They said, yeah. So I'm looking for the maid. I come to the door, I ring the doorbell. Here come Apostle. I'm looking for the maid, though. And I put the money in his hand. He said, come in. He said, Lord gave me a word for you. Oh, praise the Lord. I sat down, talked to him for a few minutes. And y'all, this is the God heaven truth. This is the God heaven truth. I'm not lying to you. Listen to me. He told me, I told him, this about the guy who gave me the money, and I'm sowing this in the hymns to help, you know, so he could believe for the man house and stuff. He said, okay, all right. And so he said this to me. I told him, I said, I don't know. I said, I've been sowing. I said, but it don't look like it's coming real fast. This is what he told me. He said, because the clouds not filled. I said, the clouds. He said, yeah. He said, you know, when the clouds fill, it rains. He said, you just keep on sowing, it's going to fill the clouds. And so I said, oh, I got to keep sowing, and that's going to fill the clouds. And once the clouds get full, it's going to rain. Oh, I can understand that. So he said, and it's going to start happening for you. I left his house that day, and I was never short from that point. I was short when I got there, but right after I left. And so, because I think that's where I got the revelation from, because that's the same place where I talk about the clouds, but talk about the morning and evening seed. That's where I got the revelation for that morning eating the seed from. And I've been sowing the morning eating the seed. Ooh, it's a whole bunch of years now I've been sowing it. But I started off sowing $5. That's all I had. That's what I gave, $5 morning and evening. But as God increased me, I kept on going up. Kept going up. Praise the Lord. And so I told you what the man gave me. I told you last week what the man gave me. Didn't I tell you what the man gave me? So, you know, that's a long way from $5 now. That's a long ways. But the thing about it is, see, you have to follow the Holy Ghost. As God increase you, you have to be able to increase your seed. See, watch it. The scripture said this is a little rabbit trail, but we'll get back on track in a minute. But the scripture said this. Scripture says that if you sow sparingly, you reap sparingly. If you sow bountifully, you reap bountifully. Say, but it talks about as a man purposes in his heart, so let him give, right? Okay, so guess what? That means that it's up to you to make up your mind what you want. What kind of harvest you want. If you want to sparingly, keep on giving dollars. Keep on giving two. Keep on giving three. You understand what I'm saying? But if you want a bountiful harvest, see, it's up to you. He said that a man purpose in his heart. He said, don't do it grudgingly or of necessity. Say, God love a cheerful giver. But you're the one that makes your mind up about what harvest you want. You don't see it. At not one time that Paul said you must give bountifully. No, he said you can give sparingly or you can give bountifully, but you get two different harvests. Yes, now you have to choose. You have to purpose in your heart which one you want. Yes, praise God. Hallelujah. So I purpose in my heart that, watch this, y'all. If I'm going to be a son, I'm going to be following, then they're going to be folk who are going to be looking to see if people who following him is getting real results. So I said this. I said that if I'm going to follow, I'm going to follow with everything that's in me. I'm going to follow with my money. I'm going to follow with my time. I'm going to follow with all the resources that I have. Because somebody got to see. Somebody who kept following, kept doing what God told him to do as it relates to following the man of God. And they came out just like Joshua, just like Elijah. You understand what I'm saying? They came out just like the Bible said they're supposed to come out. But the thing about it is, if we quit, you're not going to be the example that God is looking to show in the earth that you are one that stuck with it. And the results got to show up. God's got to reward you. You understand what I'm saying? So all it has to do with sonship. All of it has to do with sonship. What's your name right here? Yeah. Huh?
Raina.
We had a gala, and Raina and Shireen, you know, they put it together for us. Now, the thing about it is, they wanted to sow it as a seed. Now, I want you to see something here. They didn't do that because they thought my wife and I was just nice people. They saw that my wife and I really connected to Apostle. And see, so watch this. So they did what they did as a result of my connection with Apostle. See, God will have people that'll be a blessing to you because of your connection. Praise God. And so you just can't get to the point to where they did a jammed up job, boy. Praise the Lord. And I told Apostle about it, too. I said, oh, them girls really hooked it up. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. So and I let him know. I said, I know it was because of my connection, because they don't know us. You know what I'm saying? But the thing about it is, every time Word of Life got something, they see
My wife and me, we walking in. Here we come. You understand what I'm saying? And watch it. I'm getting ahead of myself, but I got to say this. Anybody who I really see that's really serving apostle and really has a heart to help him to do what he's doing, amen. Anything in the world that I could do to help him, I would. You understand? You know why? Because I want to see him go as far as God is trying to take him. And it's going to take a whole lot of folk because the vision that apostle got is so great. It's going to take a whole lot of people to help him. So it need a whole lot of faithful folk. So when I see faithful people that's helping him, I'm encouraging them. You understand what I'm saying? And see, that's why it takes maturity. You got to come to a place where you grow up. Where you're not despising somebody who's doing a good thing. You understand what I'm saying? They're doing this for apostle. Oh, no. Look, listen to me. I think it was a few Sundays ago, my wife and I, we came to church here. And so they asked the men how many wanted to come and put the lights up and stuff. I didn't stand up because I wanted to, you know, the member asked to remember. But I called that Monday and asked about it. And Dr. Leroy said, yeah, we're going to be doing it Tuesday. I said, okay, all right, you can count me in. So from 9 o'clock that morning to around 8 or 9 or so that night, we out here putting up lights. Then the next day, you know, we finishing up. And so we putting some at apostle house and all that. And all the guys, everybody that's helping, they ain't nowhere in the world. We could have done it by ourselves. So we had a whole bunch of folks. So, you got to be able to be encouraging everybody that's a part of it. You understand what I'm saying? See, that's why at many churches, there's so much division because they got so much jealousy. Got a crab mentality. One person getting out the bucket, they reach up and pull them down. No. See, with the apostolic base, that's why we have to mature so that we can be encouraging the next person. You understand what I'm saying? With the way you serve. You serve in such a way that you you are encouraging other folk. And the thing about it is, let me help you with something. Always be the person that get in the way. What you mean? Always be the person with something going on, say, I'll help. You understand what I'm saying? And I'm not helping so that apostle can be around to see me. I'm helping because I want to help him further his vision. Praise the Lord. So, you know, I came up here. We put up so many lights. I saw lights in my sleep. So I told my wife, I said, baby, these little lights we got on our house, they ain't nothing. Man, I went and bought some real lights and lit it up. I lit it up. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. And so, but the thing about it, I told Apostle, I said, we thought we had lights. We ain't had no lights. So we just went home and just made some adjustments. Put some more lights up. Praise the Lord. Sons must be joined to the God of the house. Every house and family on earth derives its name and nature from the Father in heaven. This divine nature and distinctive characteristic is released into the life of the set man of the house to reproduce into his tribe and family here on earth. See, when a person is really walking with a real anointing, he'll begin to reproduce himself in other people. But the people have to be really sensitive to the Spirit of God, because a real man of God, a man or woman of God, a real one, they won't always say what you want to hear. Sometimes they just jack you up, just tell you, you know, you need to do something with yourself. You know what I'm saying? And so you have to come to a place where you realize that they really love you and they want you to win. And so they're not just saying something, you know, trying to insult you or anything like that, but they're trying to provoke you to get you to go to another level. And you have to know that. You have to know it. You know, we were I had a tent revival one time, so I asked Apostle, I said, Apostle, we having a tent revival. It was coming up to the camp meeting. I said, is it all right? He said, oh, yeah, sonny. You know, he wasn't thinking about, you know, it was, I just told him the date. I didn't tell him it was coming up to camp meeting. I just told him the date. He said, okay. He said, it'll be fine. It'll be fine. So the week of the camp meeting, the week before camp meeting, the people in the church that I pastor, they usually come and help do whatever need to be done around here. So nobody came. And so Apostle called me up. Say, Philip, what's wrong with you? I said, what happened, sir? He said, they tell me you had a tent revival. He said the people. No, he didn't tell me about the tent revival then. He said, your people usually come and do. He said, they ain't come, you didn't come, you didn't call nobody. I said, I'm so sorry. And so we came down here further camp meeting, and here it is, Dr. Walk and myself, we walk out. Apostle say, Philip, I'm gonna rebuke you right in front of Pastor Walker. I said to myself, and I'm gonna receive it right in front of Pastor Walker. He said, you shouldn't have had a tent revival knowing that meeting was coming up. No, you know, you got your people wore out. That's why they didn't come. Now, do you think I said to him, well, you know, I asked you. I didn't say a word. I ain't say a word. Then on the end, know what he said? He said, I know you mentioned it to me. He said, but when you mentioned it, I wasn't thinking about it. I said, it never happened again, sir. You know what I'm saying? And I share these kind of things with y'all because you have to know when you're walking with somebody like Apostle, that it ain't always be peaches and cream. And so you got to already know before you get the hide peeled off you. You got to already know he love you. Praise the Lord. I mean, you might have to shed a tear or two. Go ahead and shed it. But after the don't go crying on nobody's shoulder. Because when you go cry on somebody's shoulder, they're going to say something. Well, I don't think you deserve that. You too good. You do too much. Please. So you have to be able to take it. You have to be able to take the correction and that sort of thing and stuff, because he's trying to reproduce himself in us. Hallelujah. Guess what? You got to be willing to let him. Praise the Lord. Son must connect to the grace of God and the spiritual resources in the house of their father. This will help them become distinctively like their father and cause them to become the begotten in the house. Sons in the house must tap into the spirit of what God is doing in the house. The people here that I pastor, they know that World Shaker resemble Word of Life. We do. I mean, we sang the song Word of Life sang. Praise the Lord. I preach the sermons that Apostle preach. Yes, I do. Yes, sir. Yes, indeed. Let me say this. I got a minute up to pastors that's out here. Don't try to recreate the wheel. Apostle got success all around here. Listen to me. I have somebody who transcribed his notes, and I preach them. And guess what? I tell the people that I pastor, I'm preaching them. You understand? It's not no big secret. Praise the Lord. If he got results, I just do what he do. And I get the results he got. I'm getting them. They're coming. You understand what I'm saying? Praise the Lord. But it's not how you start. It's how you finish. Praise the Lord.